Welcome to Tribulation News with your host, Dr. Elizabeth Motke. Lots of breaking news I need to share with you. Our country has officially declared war on Syria, Russia, and China. And this is huge. I want to stress to you that Syria has done chemical weapons in the form of using sarin. And, of course, we've been having a proxy war with Russia, and now, obviously, China. We've been having issues with them, too, in the Korean Peninsula. So, everything is ramping up rapidly. So, I want to stress to you, do you have your spiritual house in order? Everything is about to go hot within 60 days. Am I clear? Within 60 days. So, I only know that because I have an intelligence source that is in the military himself, and that's how I found my information. And he confirms or denies what is going on in the latest news. And he has confirmed this information that everything is about to go hot. More hot than you can ever imagine at this point. To the point that they want 90% of the world gone. It's that close. Even with the movie Oblivion that just came out. Very realistic. I highly recommend it. Because at this point, the game is even more so on. I cannot stress it enough. Now, I want to get to the latest news here and back up even more so what I am saying. Where to begin? Decisions. I will start with the war news first, since I started off with war. Israel has shot down a drone, a Hezbollah drone. Okay, now this is near the Lebanese and Syrian border. This is huge. And now this time it's a drone. Because before, we shot down other things, such as airplanes, helicopters, you name it, shot down that stuff. So now it's a drone. So what I'm trying to stress to you is that it is that close. Everything that is happening is here, okay? We are in the Great Tribulation. It started March 13th, but now your life is at stake. Did you hear me? Your life is at stake. Do you know Jesus? If you do not, I urge you now to repent, confess of your sins, and accept Jesus as the Lord of your life. Otherwise, you will spend eternity in the pit of hell. And I do not want you there. Jesus doesn't want you there. But the choice is up to you. Where do you stand on things? Are you willing to die for your faith? Or are you going to be a chicken about it? The choice is up to you. So, with this drone, I want to read this article to you. It was posted today and is on tabletmag.com. You can also find it on Steve Quayle's site. And this is what the article says. For the second time in a year, Israeli forces have shot down a drone believed to be part of Hezbollah's arsenal. The unmanned drone was reportedly approaching the Israeli coast near Haifa, however you say it, when it was downed by Israeli F-16s a few hours ago. I view with great gravity this attempt to violate our border. We will continue to do what is necessary to defend the security of Israel's citizens, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said in a statement. Last October, a drone made its way well into southern Israel before it was shot down in a desert, an alarming development then given that it had been several years since any hostile aircraft had penetrated Israeli airspace. Placing this last incident in the context of the instability in Syria, which Hezbollah finds useful, and the enmity between Israel and Iran over the latter's nuclear program, as well as the announcement of a huge arms deal between the United States and Israel earlier this week, including vital equipment that could be used to launch a strike on Iran's nuclear facilities, this seems like a pretty big deal. If you ask me, this is a huge deal. Everything is huge, okay, at this point. Because everything is about to go over the cliff, literally over the cliff. We are just hanging by a thread, people. We are that close for it to hitting the fan. They've already confiscated guns in Boston, Massachusetts, Watertown, Massachusetts, Waco, Texas. There are lots more of the places I could name off, but that's just a few. And the list goes on. So, it is crucial that your spiritual house is in order now more than ever. Did you hear me? I said now. Okay. Now, with more latest news and information, I have another article backing up about the sarin that is used in Syria. It is called U.S. Intelligence Points to Small-Scale Use of Sarin in Syria. Now, don't you remember back last year, mid to late last year, they said that if any chemical weapon is used, a red line is crossed for the United States, and we will go into Syria? And do you also remember Doug Hagman, my dear friend, that also mentioned that Syria is the red line for Russia? And what did I just tell you at the beginning of this program? Our country has declared war with Syria, Russia, and China. Do you know what that means? We have been at World War III for a while, but everything is changing. The game plan has completely changed. My military person I know, their plans have completely changed because of what I've learned today as of the 25th. I hope you get what I'm saying. This is absolutely huge. Now, this is what this article has to say about Syria. The United States has evidence that the chemical weapon sarin has been used in Syria on a small scale, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel said Thursday. But numerous questions remain about the origins of the chemical and what effect its apparent use could have on the ongoing Syrian civil war and international involvement in it. When asked whether the intelligence community's conclusion pushed the situation across President Barack Obama's red line that could trigger more U.S. involvement in the war, Hagel said, "It's too soon to say. We need all the facts. We need all the information," he said. "What I've just given you is what our intelligence community has said they know. And I also said they are still assessing and they are still looking at what happened, who was responsible, and the other specifics that we'll need." In a letter sent to lawmakers before Hagel's announcement, the White House said that intelligence analysts have concluded with varying degrees of confidence that the Syrian regime has used chemical weapons on a small scale in Syria, specifically the chemical agent sarin. The White House cautioned that the chain of custody of the chemical weapons was not clear and that the intelligence analysts could not confirm the circumstances under which the sarin was used, including the role of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's regime. Well, obviously, since this article was written, they can confirm it. That has been in the last 6 months. They have now officially confirmed that this actually has happened, okay? Sarin can kill anybody. And now that Assad has used it on his own people, imagine what kind of chemical warfare, biological warfare they're going to bring on us here now in our own country. It is not going to be pretty. War is never pretty. It is complete evil. So, this is basically what the article talks about. The lawmakers were calling for action in regards to Syria, and they were asking for additional evidence. Well, we know since then that they have that actual evidence because John McCain said in a flat-out declaration of war that they have that evidence that chemical weapons, i.e. sarin, has been used in Syria. Now, I want to give you some more connections with Syria. What's going on here? You have Russia and China that back up Syria. You have Turkey that's been fighting with Syria. You have, okay, now I want to remind you about the nuclear part of it too. Russia has nuclear weapons. China has nuclear weapons. North Korea has nuclear weapons. Iran is locked and loaded with nuclear weapons. They are ready to go. They're a major threat to Israel because they want to take out Israel. You have, or I think I've already mentioned, North Korea. Since South Korea has teamed up with us, they have chemical weapons. Japan does not have chemical weapons. India has chemical weapons. In fact, India has been invaded by China in the last week. And they're trying to get China to leave through talks, and they're not leaving. It's been now 6 or 7 days, and they haven't left. This is huge, too. You also have Pakistan that has chemical weapons. Do you see the connection with the chemical weapons? Do you also know who has the most chemical weapons in the world still? The United States of America. That is how late the hour is. But if you can see those connections that I just gave you, all those countries that have all those chemical weapons, all those biological weapons, think of how quickly the Earth will no longer exist with the continents, that is. That is why God has made time shorter, and I am so thankful for that, because otherwise no flesh would be alive, as his word says. And look at how interconnected everything is. You have North and South Korea against each other. You have Vietnam. You have Taiwan. You have all those Asian countries that are going to be reacting here very soon. You have the minor Asian countries, such as Greece going through economic downfall, Italy, you name it. They've, while we're going through it right now. And didn't, I mean, I mentioned this a couple weeks back, but we are, the current world economy is crashing. Did you hear me? Crashing. So what I want to stress to you is you better be investing in gold and silver if you are able to, because it's really low right now, like $22, $23 for silver and little over $1,400 for gold, because that will be your backup when they try and do this next 9/11 event to force us to take the mark of the beast, as we see in Revelation 13. This is really, really huge. And so I want to stress to you, like I've been stressing for the last 15 minutes nearly, do you know Jesus? Have you accepted him as Lord of your life? If not, you better get your house in order. And I am willing to help you grow in your faith with the Lord if you accept him today. My website is tribulationnews.com. I want to help you. I am here to help you. I am called to help you. Okay? I want to be here for you. I know this news is huge. I know it is. It's a lot for me to take in too. I never thought I'd be alive during this time. I thought I'd be born maybe in the 50s and I wouldn't totally have to avoid all this. Maybe 30s, 40s. I don't know. But whatever the case is, I was hoping that maybe it would happen in, say, 2025 or 2050 and I wouldn't be here. But no, this is the year for it to happen. I don't understand, but it is. And do you not get the fact that the entire world is under judgment? Have you noticed an increase in earthquakes, particularly in Asia? Have you noticed, too, I heard this, found this out from my source, too, the caverns that are underneath the bedrock, the rock of the continent, they're becoming more and more wider. That tells you the Pacific plate, the Asian plate, or however you want to call it, it's either coming closer to our direction, and our plate that we're on may be expanding or maybe going towards Europe. I don't quite get that, but whatever the case is, what is happening now is not normal. Depending on your definition of normal, of course, but normal in my mind is, you know, no war, yeah, peace. Everyone gets along with each other as best they can. There's no division. And there's no such thing as mental illness. That's my normal. Because mental illness is just a figment of your imagination anyways. is something that Satan made up himself, that the Illuminati and all of them hang on. So if anyone tries to label you even as a heretic or as a fearmonger or whatever, tell them that you believe in Jesus. Don't be afraid. Either you have faith or you have fear. If you have fear, you're worshiping Satan. If you have faith, you're worshiping God. Where do you stand? Because if you believe in Jesus, you're fearless. You are not afraid. But if you are worshiping Satan, it's not good to be you. And remember, all that New Age stuff that's out there, that goes with the Illuminati, that goes with the Revived Roman Empire that we've been under since March 13th, it's all out there. It is here, people. It is here. It's not very often I get preachy on this program, but when I do, beware. Because I have important information to share, and I would not be sharing it if I did not love and care for you deeply. I want you to be with the Lord. But what breaks my heart is that at least 95% of this world is going to be deceived. And at least 95% of those people are sheeple. They will hear and believe everything. They will not research it for themselves. Will you research and back up even more what I am saying to you now? I would not dare lie to you. I would not dare lie to my own husband. I hope you get where I'm coming from, because I love you that much. So now, I'm going to go to some more articles here. Let me find one here. I have plenty on my plate to share here, so it might take me a little while. Okay. Now, speaking of red lines being crossed, I already mentioned the Syrian red line. The Iranian red line was with the chemical biological weapons, particularly biological with nuclear capabilities. That has been crossed for the last 3 months at least. I've been seeing it popping up in the headlines, and now there's an article saying out there that it has been crossed. You can find this on godlikeproductions.com. So what I'm saying is war has been going on for a while, but I gave you all the connections on how it's connected and how it's going to affect the entire world. You know why they want this chaos. It's to usher in the so-called New World Order. There's nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new. Sin is sin, period. It is so crucial that you are living for God, even to the point of death. Remember, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. Acts 5:29. Let's see if you can remember that on your own. Look it up too. I must obey God rather than men. So, we are on the verge of repeating the book of Acts. The church is about to go underground. I'm going to also tell you too that churches are in judgment. They are in judgment. The church I resigned from, they are in judgment. Because ever since I resigned from there, they have struggled to get volunteers, which tells me that the church is dying. And they have put together very much worldly things, such as doing a garage sale, having a silent auction, you name it, that's what they've been doing. And, you know, it's supposed to be a house of God, not a den of robbers, as Jesus has said in his word. We rob God when we try and do things like that in his house. This is not good at all. Not good at all. And so, what I want to stress to you, and I'm going to keep stressing it for the last 25, 30 minutes, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Because it's a matter of life or death at this point. And speaking of war, Senator McCain has officially declared war on Syria. That includes Russia and Iran, as I have stated before. You can also find this on godlikeproductions.com. And there's also a YouTube video about it too, which you can also look up as well. So I could talk about the war thing for quite a while. But what I want to stress to you is that it's about to go hot. Especially now that we have officially, Congress has declared war. They have 90 days to act. 90. But according to my intelligence source, it's going to happen within the next 60. It could happen in the next 30. It could happen the next week. Have you noticed those false flag events that have happened? This is huge. Those false flag events that happened, particularly Boston, and which also went into Watertown, and Waco, which we've also seen in Oklahoma City. We've also seen it here in Kansas, where I'm at. California. Let's see here. Arkansas. What do you think they're trying to do? They're trying to cause chaos in our country and take away the guns and put us in FEMA camps. Do you want to go to a FEMA camp? I sure hope not. Because those are death camps. America is modern day Nazi Germany. Hate to say that, but it's true. We learn how to put together these camps from the Germans. Yeah, and we played on both sides of the war too during that time. Yeah. And look at what's happening now. We're playing both sides of the war with Israel. Isn't that ironic? But what's interesting is Germany and France are going to turn against us. Yeah, Germany, France, Cuba, North Korea, China, and Russia are planning on attacking our country, for crying out loud. But look, since we've awakened the Iranian sleeper cells in the last week, we are now fighting against Iran. That is seven countries. Seven. Okay? That is absolutely huge. Now, that means America will be desolate. Did you hear me? Desolate. It will not exist here after a while. And that will happen rapidly, like any other country. If you see the movie Oblivion, like I said earlier, I highly recommend it because it's anti-Illuminati and it is spot on to what's coming. They mention in there the Nephilim and Raphaim, the Nephilim being the fallen ones, and which are fallen angels that can also turn into humans. And the Raphaim are the giants. They are all here. They are all around us, people. They are here. Right now, they're underground. But when it hits the fan, be prepared to be fighting against them, too. And the best way to fight against them is to have the power and the blood of Jesus in you through his Holy Spirit to speak out against them. And if it's the Lord's will, you will defeat them. That is how things are right now. Because they come to devour the earth, as we see in the book of Enoch. They come to do exactly that. So it is so crucial that you understand where I'm coming from. If you have not read the book of Enoch, please read it. You can find it on the internet for free. Okay? Because that book was meant for our time. And I believe it should have been included in the Bible to begin with. But the Catholic Church left it out. Go figure. Or should I say the Roman Empire left it out. So, now, I am going to discuss with you what's going on in America. Since I've already been discussing that already. Okay. First of all, child hunger is exploding in Greece and 14 signs that it is starting to happen in America too. This is on the economiccollapseblog.com. Now, I'm going to give you those 14 signs in which this is happening, and it breaks my heart that this is happening to kids. and it should not happen at all to anybody, no matter what age you are. Okay, here's the first one. Number one, today, approximately 17 million children in the United States are facing food insecurity. In other words, that means that one in four children in the country is living without consistent access to enough nutritious food to live a healthy life. Number two, we are told that we live in the wealthiest nation on the planet, and yet more than one out of every four children in the United States is enrolled in the food stamp program. Number three, the average food stamp benefit breaks down to approximately $4 per person per day. Number four, it is being projected that approximately 50% of all U.S. children will be on food stamps before they reach the age of 18. That's half of them out there, people. Number five, it may be hard to believe, but approximately 57% of all children in the United States are currently living in homes that are either considered to be either low income or impoverished. Number six, the number of children living on $2 a day or less in the United States has grown to 2.8 million. We don't have billions here. Million. 2.8 million. That number has increased by 130% since 1996. Number seven. According to Feeding America, households with children reported food insecurity at a significantly higher rate than those without children, 20.6% compared to 12.2%. Number eight, according to a Feeding America Hunger Study, more than 37 million Americans are now being served by food pantries and soup kitchens. Number nine, for the first time ever, more than a million public school students in the United States are homeless. That number has risen by 57% since the 2006-2007 school year. Number 10, approximately 20 million U.S. children rely on school meal programs to keep from going hungry. And I might add, my nephews are included in that mix. Number 11, one university study estimates that child poverty costs the U.S. economy $500 billion each year. Number 12, in Miami, 45% of all children are living in poverty. Number 13, in Cleveland, more than 50% of all children are living in poverty. Number 14, according to a released report, 60% of all children in the city of Detroit are living in poverty. This is huge, people. This shows how poor the worldwide economy, however you want to put it, actually is. People are getting more and more homeless, more and more starved because of this. This is not a good thing at all. Not good at all. So since we're talking about the economy, I'm going to go and read a Q alert here from Steve Quayle's site about the economy. And I hope it continues to raise your attention to how late the hour is and you will act and not be afraid. Okay, this one is entitled Sandcastles in the Midst of an Economic Tsunami v. the Guerrilla Economist. Okay, this is what he wrote. When I was a child, I was always enamored by those who take copious amounts of time building sandcastles on the beach. I, too, parlayed my efforts into building these amusing and engaging edifices of one imagination. The only thing, though, is that as one begins to build these great creations, be it small or something of a very grand scale, it is only time before the tide comes in and washes away what one has labored so hard to build. The eldest among us understood that these creations of sand are only temporal, but it is the children that have the greatest heartache. It is almost world-ending for some. Thus, so it is with today's modern society. You have those that are awake to what is going on and understand that no matter what they build here in this life, very few things are lasting and even fewer stand the test of time. The others, and I know that some of you who are frequent to this site or are an audience to my warnings will understand. that these are some that feel with such strong conviction that their sandcastle is forever. That is venerable, a construct that showcases their abilities, their work, and their legacy. Fools is what I call them. This week, we had the market do some incredible things. Hot on the heels of the gold and silver beatdown that I predicated with uncanny accuracy, the Dow continues its upward climb. Irrespective that IBM, Cisco, and Caterpillar all reported revised earnings much lower than what was forecast, irrespective of the false flag attack in Boston, my advice to the FBI, please use better dimwits next time, continued job loss, a housing market reflation that is deflating faster than a popped balloon, still the insane plunge protection team, hyper Bernanke and stimulation that has caused every idiot with the room temperature IQ to dump his PM holdings, JPY and Euro positions, and run to the dollar as the last bastion of safety. Folks, this is the equivalent of a child not being able to register in his mind that the high tide is coming in and the fruits of the labor is about to be wiped. This time, though, it is not high tide, but an inescapable tsunami. Today's news reported that because of a hacked AP tweet about Barry O's White House going up in flames, $23 billion left the S&P 500 in 3 minutes. Sure, and I have a bridge in Brooklyn that I could sell you. What this immediate sell-off really is more than just a tweet gone wrong. Word is that this is how hair-triggered the market is, that such wild indolations will cause mass sell-offs. Either these are the fastest movement of capital that I have seen on the banksters or running some sort of test again. I would lean to that conclusion till I can prove otherwise. What you have here on this chart, courtesy of Bloomberg, is showing the incredible 3-minute short and the squeeze that has occurred in the market. Still, this type of information is not enough to dissuade the delusional hopeful who are being in a turnaround. Look, let's be honest. Some of you have dumped your silver and gold stores in a panic tizzy, and some have flown back to equities, and even a few of you ran to annuities. I have stated that this is a sting operation penetrated by the BOJ and the Fed, selling off and flooding the market with worthless paper certificates, working in a collusion with their bullion bank henchmen. I stated on the Hagman & Hagman show on the 15th of April that this will cause a buying spree in Asia, and that is exactly what has happened. All the central banks are printing to oblivion. The politicians are committed to this madness and are in full support of a global currency war. Your wealth, and Castle Builder is being wiped out. You are about to lose everything in this perfect mathematical economic tsunami that is set to overtake you. Once again, the government and central banks are walking lockstep with the banksters in creating total centralization of wealth and vertical integration of capital power. Do some of you cry at night, wonder why Barry O does nothing to fix the economy? Do you wonder why it is nigh near impossible for small business owners to function and for new ones to start up? Have you ever thought why there are crushing taxes that seem to benefit only a select few at the malaise of many? Think about it. They have killed private wealth to the point that those in the Western economies can do nothing but run to their respective government bonds or even to the U.S. T-bills and dollars. Sad, is it not? That is not the entire environment. That is purposefully even created. This is done in order to tether all of those that are in equity distress to the dollar, the USS Titanic, a ship so overladen with excess debt that not only is it about to hit an iceberg, but a tsunami as well. You see, the plan is to create the panic and get everyone on board and then sink the ship with all the hands on deck. Total loss of life. Who but rank and file communists would want total destruction of private wealth? So how do you escape? I have told you, and will again beat it over your heads, that the way to escape the satanic system of enslavement is to be filled to the brim with gold and silver, as well as food and a few other preparedness items necessary to barter. I stated many times that paper certificates show no bearing on actual physical market inventory. The GLD-SLV dive in the sport market last Friday was a signal to people like me that the decoupling between future prices and physical metals acquisition that we have been preaching about in the metals market has finally begun to take place. Today, there are hefty premiums that are being paid on delayed deliveries up to 8 weeks. Renaissance Metals that Steve Quayle runs is one of a handful that can get you what you need. Renaissance goes out on the secondary market to acquire what you need. Their precious metals pool supply is running even lower, and recent mint shutdown of productions for certain stampings, which has done nothing to alleviate the situation. So get on with it. Pick up your pail, dust off your tush, and settle it in your heart that you built it, that what you built is a worthless pile of sand, and get yourself into something that has stood the test of time for over 8,000 years. Get gold and silver while you still can. Price is no longer the issue, as availability and delivery time becomes critical. Be prepared. This was posted, by the way, on the 24th. Now, I'm going to read another Q alert here, since I mentioned the top of the show about false flag operations and how we now have Iranian sleeper cells waking up. And this is not good, because it's going to bring about nationwide martial law in our own country. Now, this is this other Q alert I want to read to you. And it's called, All False Flag Operations Have Primary Goal of Rounding Up Citizens' Firearms. Okay, this is what the person said. Received from a friend who is an accountant. Her assignment for the past week was to keep accounting records of incoming donations and monies. Monday, FEMA Homeland Stormtroopers took over the record keeping in the town. She discovered every donation is assigned a monetary value. Every water bottle, can of food, shoes, underwear, and all building materials are assigned a dollar value. In addition, each relief worker and the equipment used in the cleaning up effort are assigned dollar values. This is the shocking part. The estimated dollar value will be deducted from the total dollar amount that FEMA provides. Oh wait, there's more. FEMA Homeland Stormtroopers also went from house to house to check on people and animals. The property and everything within the area belongs to FEMA, and any and all valuables can be confiscated by FEMA. FEMA's second priority is to confiscate guns. She says FEMA agents logging in confiscated weapons and munitions. She heard them laugh as they stated most of the confiscation weapons will never be returned because the owners will not be able to substantiate first-party ownership. In other words, if the weapon is not registered in your name, then you will not receive it. Besides that, do you know the make, model, and serial number? You're out of luck. A FEMA Homeland Security agent asked if she was going to continue to assist FEMA's efforts. She was asked to sign a confidentiality letter and provide an ID. He say her CCL card and demanded her weapon. She left. You may have heard that Eminem Mars gave $50,000, Chick-fil-A of $50,000, GM $100,000, and a company giving a $600,000 fire truck, the Boy Scouts, hundreds of churches, and hundreds of other organizations and individuals have given tens of thousands of dollars and their volunteer efforts to West, all donated to West, no, all that is considered a gift of FEMA. Again, the estimated dollar value will be deducted from the total dollar amount that FEMA provides to West. And the person says, I wonder why the news media has not reported this. I wonder why. So, that gives you a heads up on why. What happens in particular with false flag operations. And we have had too many in the last week or so. And I cannot stress it enough, as I've said, how late this hour is. Now, I also want to show you the money thing as well with the lawmakers. They want to get exempt from Obamacare, for crying out loud. Seriously? This is absolutely ridiculous. They think they're too good enough to actually have to pay $70,000 or $20,000 for not having health care. They want to get out of it. Bunch of chickens, if you ask me. So even then, for those of us who are awake, don't comply. This is what the article says. Lawmakers, aides may get Obamacare exemption. And this is the article. It was posted yesterday. Congressional leaders in both parties are engaged in high-level confidential talks about exempting lawmakers and Capitol Hill aides from the insurance exchanges they are mandated to join as part of President Barack Obama's health care overhaul, sources in both parties said. The talks, which involved Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, House Speaker John Boehner, the Obama administration, and the top lawmakers, are extraordinarily sensitive, with both sides acutely aware of the potential for political fallout from giving carve-outs from the hugely controversial law to 535 lawmakers and outside of their aides. Discussions have stretched out for months, sources said. Oh, and now we find out, of all things. A source close to the talk says, everyone has to hold hands on this and jump, or nothing is going to get done. Yet if Capitol Hill leaders move forward with this plan, they risk being dubbed hypocrites by their political rivals and the American public. But if you know already, they are hypocrites. You already know that already. By removing themselves from a key Obamacare component, lawmakers and aides would be held to a different standard than the people who put them in office. The double standard, playing both sides. They've been doing that for decades, and now they want to be exempt from Obamacare? That's just wrong. It goes on to say, Democrats in particular would have a public hammering as the traditional boosters of Obamacare Republicans would undoubtedly attempt to shred them over any attempt to escape coverage by it unless Boehner and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell gives Democrats cover by backing it. There is concern in some quarters that the provision requiring lawmakers and staffers to join the exchanges, if it isn't revised, could lead to a brain drain on Capitol Hill, as several sources close to the talks put it. The problem stems from whether members and aides set to enter the exchange would have their health insurance premiums subsidized by their employer. In this case, the federal government, if not aides and lawmakers in both parties, fear that staffers, especially low-paid junior aides, could be hit with thousands of dollars in new health care costs, prompting them to seek jobs elsewhere. Older, more senior staffers could also retire or jump to the private sector rather than face a big financial penalty. Plus, lawmakers, especially those with long careers in public service and smaller bank accounts, are also concerned about the hit to their own wallets. Well, then they should have thought about that before they even passed it. It goes on to say, House Minority Whip Steny Hoyer is worried about the provision. The number two House Democrat has personally raised the issue with Boehner and other party leaders, sources said. Mr. Hoyer is looking at this policy, like all other policies in the Affordable Care Act, to ensure they're being implemented in a way that's workable for everyone, including members and staff, said Katie Grant, Hoyer's communication director. Several proposals have been submitted to the Office of Personnel Management, which will administer the benefits. One proposal exempts lawmakers and aides, and the other exempts aides alone. When asked about the high-level bipartisan talks, Michael Steele, a Boehner spokesman, said the speaker's objective is to spare the entire country from the ravages of the president's health care law. He is approached daily by American citizens, including members of Congress, and staff who want to be free from its mandates. If the speaker has the opportunity to save anyone from Obamacare, he will. It's too late. It's already law. He goes on to say, Reid's office declined to comment about the bipartisan talks. However, the idea of exempting lawmakers and aides from the exchanges has its detractors, including Representative Henry Waxman, a key Obamacare architect. Waxman thinks there is a confusion about the content of the law. The Affordable Care Act, he said, mandates that the federal government will still subsidize and provide health plans obtained in the exchange. There will be no additional cost to lawmakers and Hill aides, he contends. In other words, what can I do to get out of it? I'm above the law. That's exactly what they're thinking. And, you know, they're going to keep pulling that as long as they can, because they think, well, we make the laws, we could be above them too. Well, that's totally wrong. And they didn't even think about the consequences of their actions until now. I mean, give me a break. You're supposed to think before you act, not act before you think. It's common sense. Now, you know, Facebook has been monitoring people, particularly those of us who believe in Jesus, but now, and they've been doing this for a while too, with those who are have gun shops. Well, here's an article that says Facebook shuts down controversial gun shop contest. So this is what the article has to say. A McKean Sport gun shops giveaway contest had to be postponed because Facebook shut down the Pittsburgh Tactical Firearms page. The contest was to give away an AR-15 ammunition and other gear valued at some $10,000. The company has done many other giveaways. Their most recent was back in February. KDKA AM's Robert Mangino spoke with Pittsburgh Tactical Firearms owner Eric Lowry about his gun shop giveaway. He says they've never had any problems up until now. Lowry believes that it's your Second Amendment right to own a gun and that the American people have the right to protect themselves to the fullest extent against any enemy. At his gun shop, they sell all kinds of guns, including police and military-style weapons, as well as tactical classes on survival and defense. He believes it's everyone's right to own any kind of gun you would want. Lowry said the contest was about to launch when Facebook told the gun shop they violated their policy, which prohibits the sale or advertisement of the sale of firearms. Lowry contests that they're not selling anything, they're giving it away. There was a media outlet out of New York, and we were one of the headlining companies that they had featured. Lowry said we were singled out. Lowry says the gun shop even paid Facebook $5,000 to advertise their giveaway, and all their Facebook ads were approved by the company. They took our money without a problem, but as soon as somebody brought media attention to it, they shut us down, Lowry said. And that is important to understand because of the times we live. It goes on to say, Facebook has since reinstated Pittsburgh Tactical Firearms page with heavy restrictions, one of which is to never do another gun giveaway. I think they're trying to make an example of us, Lowry believes. We follow all local, state, and federal laws. You have to. I'm not going to go to jail over a contest, Lowry added. Lowry said that he set up forms on his shop's website where people can sign up for his firearm giveaways from now on. And those that think like him have supported the gun rights movement for using their wallet. For instance, Lowry says that after Sandy Hook, he has seen a huge jump in gun sales. 2 days after the shooting, we sold 95% of our stock out, said Lowry. So, this is very important. You get what's going on here with the guns. I've stressed this earlier with the fact that when there's a false flag operation, which we have seen twice and more than that twice, I might add, in the last week, they will do everything they can to make your life horrible. And look at what they're doing. They are doing exactly that. So, as you can probably tell already, we have Revelation 6, 9, and 13 going on. Now, and also Daniel 2 and 7. Now I'm going to go to, Daniel 12 as well. I'm going to go to Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 in regards to this next article. Afghanistan hailstone storms kills 3 and grounds British aircraft. Okay, and you can also look at the Book of Enoch as well. This is a really somewhat lengthy article, somewhat not. But basically, this is what the article says. The half-hour storm wrought havoc at Kandahar Airfield, according to witnesses, smashing vehicles, widescreens, and reportedly killing 3 Afghans who were struck in the head. Half the size of golf balls battered British aircraft, leaving some of the extensive damage, a senior military source told the Daily Telegraph. Repairs are expected to cost millions of pounds, and operations have been seriously curtailed while the aircraft are fixed. So he goes on to talk about this hailstorm, and obviously we know that it was at least golf ball size hail. Well, we've had a lot of that here in Kansas, and I'm not surprised. But at the same time, since then, hail has gotten bigger, and I want you to keep that in mind too, because the bigger it gets, the more people get killed, and the more damage is done. So you can read this at telegraph.co.uk or get on prophecyupdate.com as well. I want to read for you one more thing, and then I'll close out the show to also help to put things into perspective with all of what I've said today, and to encourage you to speak up and to not be afraid. I got this from a listener, and this is what she sent me. The title of it is called Changing Times We're In. And if you read this, you might get cold chills. This is what the person wrote. Okay, says, Dear friends, thank you very much for inviting me. I come to America with a mission. All is not well in the old world. There is a tremendous danger looming, and it is very difficult to be optimistic. We might be in the final stages of the Islamization of Europe. This not only is a clear and present danger to the future of Europe itself, it is a threat to America and the sheer survival of the West. The United States as the last bastion of Western civilization facing an Islamic Europe. First, I will describe the situation on the ground and Europe. Then I will say a few things about Islam. To close, I will tell you about a meeting in Jerusalem. The Europe you know is changing. You have probably seen the landmarks, but in all of these cities, sometimes a few blocks away from your tourist destination, there is another world. It is a world of the parallel society created by Muslim mass migration. All throughout Europe, a new reality is rising. Entire Muslim neighborhoods where very few indigenous people reside or are even seen. And if they are, they might regret it. This goes for the police as well. It's a world of headscarves, where women walk around in figureless tents with baby strollers and a group of children. Their husbands, or slaveholders, if you prefer, walk three steps ahead. With mosques on many street corners, the shops have signs you and I cannot read. You will be hard-pressed to find any economic activity. These are Muslim ghettos, controlled by religious fanatics. These are Muslim neighborhoods, and they are mushrooming in every city across Europe. These are the building blocks for territorial control of increasingly larger portions of Europe, street by street, neighborhood by neighborhood, city by city. There are now thousands of mosques throughout Europe with larger congregations than there are in churches. And in every European city, there are plans to build super mosques that will dwarf every church in the region. Clearly, the signal is we rule. Many European cities are already one-quarter Muslim. Just take Amsterdam, Marseille, and Malmö in Sweden. In many cities, the majority of the under-18 population is Muslim. Paris is only surrounded by a ring of Muslim neighborhoods. Mohammed is the only popular name among boys in many cities. In some elementary schools in Amsterdam, the farm can no longer be mentioned because that would also mean mentioning the pig, and that would be an insult to Muslims. Many state schools in Belgium and Denmark only serve halal food to all pupils. In once tolerant Amsterdam, gays are beaten up almost exclusively by Muslims. Non-Muslim women routinely hear whore, whore. Satellite dishes are not pointed to local TV stations, but to stations in the country of origin. In France, school teachers are advised to avoid authors deemed offensive to Muslims, including Voltaire and Diderot. The same is increasingly true of Darwin. The history of the Holocaust can no longer be taught because of Muslim sensitivity. In England, Sharia courts are now officially part of the British legal system. Many neighborhoods in France are no-go areas for women without headscarves. Last week, a man almost died after being beaten up by a Muslim in Brussels because he was drinking during the Ramadan. Jews are fleeing France in record numbers, on the run for anti-Semitic since World War II. French is now commonly spoken on the streets of Tel Aviv and Netanyahu, Israel. I could go on forever with stories like these, stories about Islamization. A total of 54 million Muslims now live in Europe. San Diego University recently calculated that a staggering 25% of the population in Europe will be Muslim. Just 12 years from now, Bernard Lewis has predicted a Muslim majority by the end of this century. Now, these are just numbers, and the numbers would not be threatening if the Muslim immigrants had a strong desire to assimilate, but there are a few signs of that. The Pew Research Center reported that half of French Muslims see their loyalty to Islam as greater than their loyalty to France. One-third of French Muslims do not object to suicide attacks. The British Center for Social Cohesion reported that one-third of British Muslim students are in favor of a worldwide caliphate. Muslims demand what they call respect, and this is how we give them respect. We have Muslim official state holidays. The Christian Democratic Attorney General is willing to accept Sharia in the Netherlands if there is a Muslim majority. We have cabinet members with passports from Morocco and Turkey. Muslim demands are supported by unlawful behavior ranging from petty crimes and random violence, for example, against ambulance workers and bus drivers, to small-scale riots. Paris has seen its uprising in the low-income suburbs. The Benilius, I call the perpetrators, settlers, because that is what they are. They do not come to integrate into our societies. They come to integrate our society into their Dar al-Islam. Therefore, they are settlers. Much of the street violence I mentioned is directly exclusively against non-Muslims, forcing many native people to leave their neighborhoods, their cities, their countries. Moreover, Muslims are now a swing vote not to be ignored. The second thing you need to know is the importance of Muhammad the Prophet. His behavior is an example to all Muslims and cannot be criticized. Now, if Muhammad had been a man of peace, let us say like Gandhi and Mother Teresa wrapped in one, there would be no problem. But Muhammad was a warlord, a mass murderer, a pedophile, and had several marriages at the same time. Islamic tradition tells us how he fought in battles, how he had his enemies murdered, and even had prisoners of war executed. Muhammad himself slaughtered the Jewish tribe of Banu Qurayza, how you say that? If it is good for Islam, it is good. If it is bad for Islam, it is bad. Let no one fool you about Islam being a religion. Sure, it has a God and a hereafter and 72 virgins, but in its essence, Islam is a political ideology. It is a system that lays down detailed rules for society and the life of every person. Islam wants to dictate every aspect of life. Islam means submission. Islam is not compatible with freedom and democracy. Because what it strives for is Sharia. If you want to compare Islam to anything, compare it to communism or National Socialism. These are all totalitarian ideologies. Now you know why Winston Churchill called Islam the most retrograde force in the world, and why he compared Mein Kampf to the Quran. The public has wholeheartedly accepted the Palestinian narrative and sees Israel as the aggressor. I have lived in this country and visited dozens of times. I support Israel, first because it is the Jewish homeland after 2,000 years of exile, up to and including Auschwitz. Second, because it's a democracy, and third, because Israel is our first line of defense. This tiny country is situated on the fault line of jihad, frustrating Islam's territorial advance. Israel is facing the front lines of jihad, the Kashmir, Kosovo, the Philippines, southern Thailand, Darfur and Sudan, Lebanon and Aceh in Indonesia. Israel is simply in the way, the same way West Berlin was during the Cold War. The war against Israel is not a war against Israel. It is a war against the West. It is a jihad. Israel is simply receiving the blows that are meant for all of us. If there would have been no Israel, Islamic imperialism would have found other venues to release its energy and its desire for conquest. Thanks to Israeli parents who send their children to the army and lay awake at night, parents in Europe and America can sleep well and dream unaware of the dangers looming. Many in Europe argue in favor of abandoning Israel in order to address the grievances of our Muslim minorities. But if Israel were to go down, it would not bring any solace to the West. It would not mean our Muslim minorities would all of a sudden change. their behavior and accept our values. On the contrary, the individual would give enormous encouragement to the forces of Islam. They would, and rightly so, see the demise of Israel as proof that the West is weak and doomed. The end of Israel would not mean the end of our problems with Islam, but only the beginning. It would mean the start of the final battle for world domination, which is about to happen, I might add. So-called journalists volunteer to label any and all critics of Islamization as a right-wing extremist or racist. In my country, the Netherlands, 60% of the population now sees the mass immigration of Muslims as the number one policy mistake since World War II. Another 60% sees Islam as their biggest threat. Yet there is a greater danger than terrorist attacks, the scenario of America as the last man standing. The lights may go out in Europe faster than you can imagine. An Islamic Europe means a Europe without freedom and democracy, an economic wasteland, an intellectual nightmare, and a loss of military might for America. As its allies will turn into enemies, enemies with atomic bombs, the Islamic Europe, it would be up to America alone to preserve the heritage of Rome, Athens, and Jerusalem. Dear friends, liberty is the most precious of gifts. My generation never had to fight for this freedom. It was offered to us on a silver platter by people who fought for it with their lives. All throughout Europe, American cemeteries remind us of the young boys who never made a home and whose memory we cherish. My generation does not own this freedom. We are merely its custodians. We can only hand over this hard-won liberty to Europe, to Europe's children, in the same state in which it was offered to us. We cannot strike a deal with mullahs and imams. Future generations would never forgive us. We cannot squander our liberties. We simply do not have the right to do so. We have to take the necessary action now to stop this Islamic stupidity from destroying the free world that we know. So please pass that on to everyone. But I might add that Islam is being used, and it's being used in order to usher in the New World Order. Crap. So, once it hits the fan, it's all going to be satanic. And they're going to use it as a means of having a one-world religion, which the current Pope has been pushing ever since he took office. And we are at that point, people. And prophecy is getting fulfilled like none other. And I hope you totally see that from this program. So I want to encourage you to be strong in the Lord, to keep trusting in Him, and to know that He is in control. But remember, God is bigger. With everything, God is bigger. And He is fighting for you. He will not let you, He will never leave you or forsake you, as we see in Matthew 28:20. And I am here for you too. And I constantly pray for you. So, on that note, thank you for listening. God bless you, and have a wonderful week.